Let's turn our Bibles to John 3:16. Probably the most famous verse in the Bible, in the Christian world and outside the Christian world. But let's read it today, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Everybody say saved.
Saved.
And we've said this many times, and I'm no Greek scholar, but this word saved in the Greek is the word sozo. Everybody say sozo. S-O-Z-O. And it means to save, heal, cure, preserve, keep safe and sound, rescue from death, danger and destruction, save from physical death by healing, and spiritual death by the forgiveness of sin. It means to give new life. It means to cause to have a new heart. And Jesus, through His death, burial, and resurrection, came to seek and save the lost. He came to save people. Jesus always, and He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's all about saving people. And He's not changed. His heart's not changed. Salvation, and most of us know this, salvation comes from believing the gospel. The word gospel means good news. And Paul gives us a snapshot of the gospel in the book of Corinthians. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15. Starting in verse 1, he kind of lays it out. It's really good. Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it. You got to stand firm in the gospel. You can't get away from it. It is the good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you. Unless, of course, you believed something that was never true in the first place. I passed on to you what was most important and what has also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins. He's giving us the gospel story here. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried. He was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. Then it goes on, you know, by the 500 and so on. And so this is the good news. And we can shorten it, we can lengthen it, whatever we want to do. But this is in a nutshell. Jesus came to save the lost. He came to reconcile people to God. Because of the transgressions from Adam, going back to the beginning, to restore man to that relationship, son and daughters. And He did it by His life. He came to show us what the Father was like, but He did it by His life, by His death. And oh my goodness, we could talk a lot about that. The sacrifice. It was a sacrifice. By His death, by His burial, descending into hell, defeating the devil, and then being raised gloriously as God promised on the third day. And this is what we believe. This is the good news. You've got to believe in the resurrection. And it's going to take faith. You can't do it on your own. You can't just be persuaded mentally. It's got to be in your heart. The Holy Spirit's got to be involved. You've got to be open to God. But it's going to take faith to believe that. And if you'll believe that, the salvation power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead will come in you and resurrect your dead life, your dead spirit. The gospel releases the power needed for salvation. And we can see that clearly in Romans 1. Let's look there. Romans 1, verse 16. The gospel releases the power needed for salvation. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news. We shouldn't be ashamed of who we are. I don't care what the news media or whoever thinks it, how popular it is. We should not be ashamed of who we are in Christ. For it is God's power working unto salvation, for deliverance from eternal death to everyone who believes with a personal trust and a confident surrender and firm reliance to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in the gospel, a righteousness, we sang about it earlier, which God ascribes is revealed, both springing from faith and leading to faith, disclosed through the way of faith that arouses to more faith. As it is written, the man who through faith is just and upright and shall live by faith. So the gospel, the good news, when it's spoken, it's not just words. It's just not a nice story. It actually contains the power of God. And if it's received, that power will transfer from where it's being preached, really the word, from heaven. It'll be transferred into the person receiving that resurrection power. And it'll come in and take something dead and bring new life. It's not just a nice story. It's just not something, you know, tradition or history. And the gospel, the good news, must be believed. And going to the Greek again, in this word power is the word dunamis. And in the reason we look a little bit in the Greek, and I'm again don't talk about it all the time, is that it's just really rich, and it brings a lot more meaning than just in our English words. But dynamis power is energy. It's God energy. It's might. It's great force. It's great ability. It's divine power. Or you could use the word miraculous power. Miracle power. What is miracle power? Miracle power changes. Miracle power transforms. Miracle power, when received, doesn't leave that person or circumstance in the same way. It changes it. It makes it better. Who's ever experienced a miracle? If you've been saved, one of the biggest miracles. Miracles of healing, miracles of provision, miracles of reconciliation, and obviously, you know, miracle of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And what Cliff was talking about, and what we're talking about too, is not just miracle power in our lives, but miracle power working through us. That's maturity. That's what we're trying to grow as disciples, where we realize, this, you know, as baby Christians, it's not just about us; it's about the world. But that power is miracle power. Everybody say miracle power. Miracle power. Now say it with some oomph. Miracle power. Miracle power. This power is in you. Turn to your neighbor and say, this power is in you. And I know we don't know each other. I would have you just tap on their chest. This power is in you. 2 Timothy 1, oh my goodness, verse 7. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity. God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craven and cringing and fawning fear. You know anybody like that, Eddie? No, I'm just kidding. He's not giving us a spirit of timidity. But he has given us a spirit of power. Same word. Miracle power. He has given us a spirit. That's the real you on the inside. That's the part that was born again. That's the part that was resurrected. You've been given a spirit of power. Not one of weakness and timidity. Spirit of power and of love and of calm. And well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. Not only is this power in you, this power is on you. Let's look at Luke 24, verse 49. There's at least five different places where the Bible talks about the Great Commission, and I might would add another sixth. I mean, there's a whole lot of places, but as far as commissioning the church, what the church is to do, five places, one in each gospel, and then Acts 1. But I'm looking at Genesis 12, adding to that. I'm going to put 6 on there, talking about the Great Commission. Co-mission. And that Great Commission is not just for leaders and for pastors. That Great Commission is for everybody. But this is part of the Great Commission here. Luke 24, verse 49. "And behold, I send forth upon you what my Father has promised, but remain in the city, Jerusalem, until you are clothed with miracle power." Clothed with power from on high. And so not only is this power in us, in the very fiber of our being, we are clothed in it. And then that clothing is for others. We have it in us, but then we have it on us. And Acts is talking about, what's it for? To be witnesses. And I love all the benefits of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I love speaking in tongues. I love the gifts of the Spirit. All the different parts of it. But the primary overall purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to be a witness. And that's not just for you, that's for others. So we're not keeping this power to ourselves. And I hate to say it, but a lot of the church doesn't even know about the power. They just totally discount the Holy Spirit. And then there's a whole lot of church, and I know these folks real well. A whole lot of the church, they know about the power, but it's all about them. Focused on them. What can I get? And that's such a low level. I mean, God will work with it and He'll still bless you, but it's such a low level because we are blessed to be a blessing. We are clothed. It's on us. It's on us to do exploits. What does this power do? Acts 10:38 shows us clearly what the power is for. And it'll help you to know, because it gets confusing. What is the power for? Acts 10:38. "How God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit." Now look at, "with the Holy Spirit and with strength and ability and power." And this is what He did with the power. He went about doing good. Good works. Good things. He went about doing good, and in particular, curing all who were harassed and oppressed by the power. See, greater is He that's in me than he is in the world. God's power supersedes the enemy's power. You know, you watch some of these movies about the supernatural, it makes the devil look more powerful than God. That's a lie. And he can fool us and make, in the circumstances and things that we're dealing with, he can make it look like, well, God's not doing anything. God's forgotten me. God's not working me. That is a lie. That's not the word. That's not Bible. Satan is under my feet. Satan was defeated 2,000 years ago. And what we have to learn as believers and who we are in Christ, how to walk in our authority and walk in that victory. Every day you got to get up and I'm going to walk this thing out. It's already been done, but I'm going to be challenged with his stealing, killing, and destroying, and his lies and his deception is going to try to get me off track. But I'm not getting off track. I'm keeping my eyes on Jesus. I'm keeping speaking the gospel. That's what we need to be confessing. Keep confessing the gospel. I believe that. That's who I am. And I don't care what circumstances tell me. That's not who I am. In Christ, I am more than a conqueror. He always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. He's given me the victory through Christ. But if you really want to walk in this, you're going to be tested. That's why we need each other, because we can get off and we can get squirrely. We can start thinking the wrong things, but we need each other. People will speak the truth and love them. No, and again, you know, not condemning, but that's not who you are. This is, look at what the word, this is who you are. Jesus was our example. Went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Is God with you? Yes. Now let's look at Mark 16. And again, another part of the Great Commission, but we have just been talking about this part of the Great Commission a lot here because of our calling, empowering people to give life. That's our terminology for a disciple. Empowering, giving people the right, or letting them know what their rights and their privileges are, helping them to walk in it, empowering them, giving them power. Empowering people, that's you, or anybody that will listen, to give life. Jesus came to give us the abundant life. It's a life overflowing with good things. And we're hopefully we're better than we were, but we're still growing in this. But that it's not about us. It's not about what happens in these four walls. It's about what happens in our world. We want you trained and equipped. That's part of my job, Ephesians 4. Equip the saints for the work of the ministry. I'm not here playing games. I'm not here just trying to pat you on the head and, you know, and be a nice guy. We got a plan here. We're training people. We're equipping people for the real game that's out there. And it's nice and safe in here, and it is comfortable. Hopefully it's a safe place. But this is practice for the game out in your world. And I want you to be equipped for it. I want you to be ready for all the enemy brings. And then take advantage of these opportunities that God brings you for ministry. Like in the grocery line. Or wherever he has you, in your family. But look at what it says here in Mark 16. And as we're reading this, look at it, and are we talking to just ministers here? We call it the fivefold apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Is Mark 16 just for them? Or it is the sixfold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, believer? Mark 16, verse 15. And then he told them, who is that? And he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes, see the gospel and the good news has got to be preached. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. Now look at these miraculous signs, the power, will accompany. New King James says follow. Or one of the translations says follow. And I'll go more into that in a minute. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. That's a good thing. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. And they will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. And when the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. And the disciples went everywhere and preached. What did they preach? What did they preach? Or what's the Bible word? Gospel. They went everywhere and preached. And see, that's the thing. That's why the enemy wants us to be silent. I don't talk about my faith. I've been in those groups. I don't talk about my faith. We don't talk about our faith. Well, that's a lie of the devil. That's deception. Because you're supposed to talk about your faith. He wants you to be silent. He wants you to be quiet. Well, that's just not me. I don't have the gift of evangelism. That's a lie. I'm not called to fivefold ministry. That's all of these are excuses. It's not Bible. The disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked with them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs. When you preach the gospel, when you share the gospel contains power. If it's received, that involves faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How do we get faith out there? We plant seeds. One plants, one waters, God gives the increase. And so don't be discouraged when you're planting your seed and you don't see instantaneous results. Sometimes you can come along and you'll minister to somebody and they'll be ripe because of other seeds that have been planted. When I got saved at 19, five people shared the gospel with me. And so that evangelist reaped the fruit from other people's seeds. He watered it. I went forward and got saved. But it was a combination of people planting seeds. So don't be discouraged. Isaiah says, the word of God shall not come back void, but it'll prosper in the thing for which it's sent. And so all of us, and so don't, you know, Jeremiah talks about this, don't look at their faces. You can't look at circumstances to see what's happening with the seed. You have to believe. And that's why if you have some people that have kind of gone off track, you've got to believe in that seed that's been planted already in their hearts. And then if you can't be the one to continue to water it, believe that God sends laborers across their path that will continue to water. Oh my goodness, this is good stuff today. God loves us. And He's not trying to hide anything from us. He wants us to know things. And he not only wants us to know, but He wants us to be skilled. We can be skilled in all these different professions, but we need to be skilled in farming. Skilled in miracles. Skilled in sharing the gospel. And with anything that you're learning to do, you're going to fall on your face. And you're really not going to get anywhere unless you step out and try. You know, and that's going to happen. But, I mean, the first person I prayed for, they died. That's really encouraging. But I didn't quit. I didn't understand, you know, I was very zealous for God and didn't understand all that was happening. I did what I know to do. Obviously, it wasn't enough. But we still won because that person's in heaven. But you got to stick with it. Stick at it. You know? Planting seeds. Watering seeds. But you know, it says here in Mark 16, the word follow. How... Let's see how it says it. These miraculous signs will accompany or follow those who believe. The word follow, it means follow after. It means to follow closely. It means to always be at one side. To follow faithfully. Miracles, follow me faithfully. And if I will learn to release it through the gospel, it will be manifested in my world. As long as I be a, you know, let my light shine, as long as I carry the good news, as long as I share the good news, as long as I confess my faith. And I'm not saying to do it with everybody you meet or every situation. Go into work on Monday and just stand up on your desk and preach the gospel to everybody. Now, He may have you do that. You may want to talk to me first. But, you know, that's why we talk about being led by the Spirit of God. Being led by Him and following Him and being obedient to Him. That's going to bring the best results. And but if you open yourself to Him, I mean, He's going to, and as you grow in this, and we're praying about boldness, I believe by year end, you're going to be a different person, doing things you hadn't done before. Now, just because of time, I was going to go into Acts 4, and maybe we could do it next week or another time. And we got a guest minister next week. Maybe we'll pick it up later. But talking about Acts 4 after the miracle at the gate called Beautiful. And because of that miracle, it opened the door for Peter to preach the gospel. He preaches the gospel. 5,000 people are saved. And of course, the religious leaders, they don't like losing anybody. So they're upset. And they bring Peter and John before them and put them in jail. And then the next day they threaten them and don't talk in the name of Jesus. And Peter says, who should we obey, you or God? We're going to obey God. We have to share the things that we've seen and heard. Then it talks about them going back to their company. And I just find it really interesting, after all they've been through, what they pray about. They don't pray about protection. They don't pray about an exit strategy. Let's leave Jerusalem. They don't pray about all these different things that we may think they should have prayed about. What do they pray about? They pray about boldness. Boldness, really, to preach the gospel. And then about signs and wonders. They're praying about the power. And it's interesting, those were the kind of prayers. We need to align ourselves with the Word. Those are the kind of prayers that shook that building. Those are the kind of prayers. We want to shake this city. We got to be praying the right things. And we got to get rid of selfish prayers. Or what we think it should be. We need to go back to the Word and start confessing the Word, putting it in our hearts and speaking it, and keep on saying it and praying it until we believe it. And if we get enough of us believing it, this city will be changed. Miracles open the door for the gospel. Now look at this. Susie sent me this story just this morning. She's just amazing. Send it to me this morning. Now listen to this story. This is the story of Tashi. Only 26 years old, Tashi suddenly found herself dying of renal, which is kidney failure. Getting medical help was problematic because Tashi lived a 3-day journey into the Himalayas. Her family was able to bring her to a city, however, and Tashi began daily dialysis for her failing kidneys. Unfortunately, the underlying condition remained. Tashi visited Hindu priests to seek healing, paying them large sums of money to make blood sacrifices on her behalf. There was no improvement in her health. In desperation, Tashi's family again paid handsomely, this time for a Buddhist Lama priest to pray for her healing. She continued to get sicker. Finally, a friend who knew of her situation offered a suggestion. If you can find a Christian, they will pray for you. They don't charge you money for prayers. They worship a God, Jesus. Jesus has powers to heal. The Christian Tashi found was Jampa, a longtime partner of Dr. Peters and his family. This is they're part of this ministry called Beyond. Susie is in contact with them. In response to Tashi's request, this humble man of prayer said, "Yes, I am a Christian, and yes, I worship a God, Jesus. I am happy to pray for you, and you don't need to pray for me. Well, pay, you don't need to pay me." And then he continued, "But if Jesus heals you, you will owe your allegiance and worship to Jesus." 2 weeks later, Dr. Peters was able to meet and examine Tashi for the first time during a medical camp he was holding. She was without ankle edema and had normal blood pressure, and her most recent labs were good. She was no longer on dialysis. In Dr. Peters' words, if there were someone healed from renal failure, it would look exactly like this. Now listen, a few days later, Tashi, her brother, and his wife became baptized believers amidst great excitement. Yes, the healing was tremendous, and the way she and her several family members responded in faith was beautiful, but there was a third reason for excitement. You see, Tashi's family is from Sky's End Village. For years, Jampa, that's the person that prayed for her, had wanted to spread the gospel in that village, but never found an opening into people's hearts there. God, however, in his great goodness, used Tashi's illness and healing. He didn't cause it, but he used the healing to open the village to his life-giving words. Tashi began holding Discovery Bible studies in her home, and 4 weeks later, Dr. Peters received a picture of a dozen believers gathered in a bare concrete room, preparing to dive into God's Word together. So God used this healing situation, and it was for free, to open the door to her family, but then now to the community. We need power evangelism. We need miracles. And if, you know, I didn't have a miracle of healing before I received, but I think for some people it's going to take that. We've had people on the streets we've ministered. We shared the gospel. They weren't receptive, but then we prayed for healing and God did a miracle. And suddenly now they're open to the gospel. This city needs the power of God. And in fact, I'll just go ahead and say it. This city, we're not going to change without His power. We're not going to do it by any kind of fancy marketing or, you know, any kind of persuasive words. And we're not even going to do it by throwing a lot of money at it. It's going to take the power of God. It's going to take the good news. And the good news has got to be proclaimed. Now, we're not the only church and only ministry, but to whom much is given, much is required. And I'm just challenging you. And as we're praying about this, seeking God for the city, let's be praying about boldness. Let's be praying for each other. Let's be praying for people to be able to step out of their comfort zone. And when they do, let's praise them for it. And if they step out and they fall flat on their face, let's reach down and, you know, pick them up and dust them off and then work with them and send them back out. We're not going to be intimidated by a few failures. But we need the gospel. We need Jesus. We need the good news. We need to be trained and skilled in the gospel. We need to know what it is. We need to know how to share it with somebody. We need to know how to share our testimonies. Yeah. Testimonies are powerful. Yeah. No one can argue, look what God's done in your life. And then, if it's real, they'll see the fruit in your life. Your testimony will match transformation. When I went back up to Minnesota, you know, years later after I was saved and I was around some of the high school friends, they just couldn't believe I'm the same guy. Partying, Matt, and all the crazy things I did, they just couldn't believe that I gave my life to Jesus. They couldn't believe I'm a pastor. It just freaked them out. I don't know if you've got any former friends. A lot of them, like, they don't believe it, that it's real. But they see the fruit. This is what I saw. I'm just going to just do what the Lord has led me to do. That's why I had Pastor Nate and Susie kind of just stop there as far as praying for Cliff. Cliff, come on up here. I'm going to switch over to this mic right here. Now, in this city, and you know this, there's a whole lot of competition in ministry. And it's really quite sickening. And because we're on the same side, we're all working for the kingdom, and yet we have all this competition and territory. And, you know, frankly, if someone today, they're listening to you and felt called to join the river and leave Good News Church, I'm all for it. I'll bless it. You know what I'm saying? It's not about, these aren't my people or my sheep, or they don't belong to me. And so I thought maybe this would be like a sign and a wonder that the two of us, maybe we pray for each other and let's pray for the city. Amen. Yes. and what God wants to do. And how about I start it and you can do whatever's on your heart to do.
All right.
And if you have something else to say, you can say it too, because I know you're listening to preaching. And but Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for my brother Cliff and what an amazing what you have done. But I know you're just scratching the surface, that you've got an amazing things. And so we just thank you for open doors for Cliff and for the river and all the other parts of the ministry. May it flourish. May it thrive. Thank you for the resources. Thank you for the laborers. Thank you for the wisdom, Lord, to do this.
Lord, may it just impact the whole area and beyond. May it be a model for other cities, maybe other nations. But you give him wisdom, and I ask, Father, you protect Cliff. Protect him from the enemy. Protect him from himself, Lord, that he'll continue to move forward in the things of God and not be discouraged in any way. But I thank you, Father, for him and his family, blessings upon them. But may they be blessed to be a blessing. Open up more doors. Open up more doors for the river. More doors opening and step through with boldness. May they be bold and crazy like never before. Boldness in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for it, Father. They will flourish. They will thrive. They will make a huge impact on the city. And like it says in Acts, great, because of that, great joy in the city. Great joy in this area in Jesus' name.
Lord, I just thank you for my brother. God, I'm so grateful. Lord, this is what I've been waiting for. And you know how I feel about this. So God, I thank you that you've connected the river and good news. I thank you that you've connected myself to Pastor Matt. And I thank you for his blessing. I thank you for his friendship. And I thank you for his heart for you and for your kingdom and for the people of this city, God. Lord, I speak a blessing over him and his family, over his ministry, over this church. Lord, may he be an example all over the city to these pastors in this city, God. We know it's not all of them that are in competition.
Right.
But Lord, it's like there's a spirit behind it, Lord, that is just tempting us to compete, Lord. God, I just ask for you to just let Pastor Matt be an example all over the city to the pastors that there's no reason to be afraid, that the people are yours, God.
Yes.
The people are yours. No matter where they are, if they're serving you, we've done our part. And so, God, I just thank you for this partnership that you have brought together, God. I just thank you that our people, every time I've told someone we're going back to good news, the response has been the same. Yes, that feels like home. That's what they keep saying to me. But Lord, I just thank you for what you're doing, Lord. I just believe that there are things happening right now in the spirit realm that we don't even know about. But we're just agreeing with you and we're agreeing with heaven. And so things are going to be released on both of us and our ministries, God. So Lord, we just come into alignment with what you want to do, God. Whatever that is, we're with it, God. Whatever you want to do, we're with it. We just ask for you to speak and reveal to us the plans of heaven, and God will do whatever you say. And so I bless my brother, I bless this ministry, and I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
You got anything else?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
So much.
Blessings,
man.
I love you. Thank you. All right.
Cliff, before you say that the Lord sent this to me, he said, he's bringing to you resources that you need, but not just land and not just money, but skilled laborers. And that their needs for the ministry, their needs for 143, their ministry needs that can't be met without skilled laborers coming. There are skills that are required to carry out the vision. And though you are skilled and though there are skilled people around you, there are skilled laborers that are going to be added to you that will bring in skills that you need to complete, to go to the next steps that he has for you. There's some skills needed in your midst. And don't worry about it. Don't seek them out. Don't try to add them to yourself. He's going to add them, and it'll be in a package, in a person that not only has skills, but they have the heart. They have the vision. They have what they need to have to properly use the skills on behalf of the ministry. And you'll be wise in your stewarding of these skills, and you'll know how to work with them, and you'll know how to interact with them, and you'll know how to, where to place them, and how to lead them, and how to bring them together as a team. You'll have wisdom as the leader to lead, and you'll know what to do. So be on the lookout. Skilled laborers are coming. Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.